This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon in the alleged sunshine, 72 degrees. He is another year older, the Commissioner of Dirt. And now the question, we have to get to the bottom of the story because there was a rumor that your age last week entered a new decade.
A what?
A new decade.
No, I don't think so.
So how old are you now?
78.
You were 78 a couple weeks ago.
No, I was 77.
No.
No, trust me, I'm 78.
So, okay, well, we had heard that you had entered the 80 mark.
No, I got two more years for that one, buddy.
Okay, we're just trying to be fair and accurate here.
All right, 1947 when I was born.
Let's see, okay. 10 to 5 minus the 3.
It comes to 78.
15, 7. Yeah, apparently it is. Okay.
Your math skills are somewhat limited, aren't
they? Well, we don't have an abacus in here anymore. And
You need an abacus? You can't use your mind?
What?
Gosh, never mind. Hello.
My mind is already in the evening mode.
I see. So is mine.
I've been up since 2 a.m. So.
Is that all? What are you going up at 2 a.m. for? What is your problem?
Because the alarm was going to go off, and I decided to wake up before it.
Oh, geez Louise. 2 a.m. Yeah. Anyway, this is a question and answer and a whole bunch of problem show.
Well, we got problems. Yeah. Yes, we do.
I know. So if you have a question about your lawn, your garden, if you need some ideas or anything like that, you can call here at 673-4464. Any landscape problem, design problem, you know, how do I prune this or when do I prune that or any of those kinds of questions and you just kind of stumped or your lawn is turning brown and you don't know what to do, hey, I can tell you, all right? So anyway, 673-4464 is the number to call. And we are having a beautiful spring season, believe it or not. It's gorgeous out there. It's wonderful. The ground is still wet, and the sun is shining, and there are thousands of plants for sale all over Roseburg and Douglas County and the other communities. So go shopping, buy some color for your yard, spruce up your entry with some geraniums and petunias, and it'll give you nonstop color until fall. And depends on the fall, too. If we have snow in October, you know, that kind of shoots that in the head. But other than that, it's a good time for getting those flowers in. And it's easy to fertilize them, of course, with a liquid flower food and maintain those blooms until it snows, if it does. But get some good stuff, and usually that liquid stuff, you put 2 or 3 tablespoons to a gallon of water, and then you just gently pour it around the roots and around the stem and feeds those flowers. You do that once a week, you'd be amazed at how many blooms you'll get and how long they'll last. They will last clear into the fall. So good idea. If you need some color, just do it. They're going to give you lots of color. And like I said, it's easy to fertilize with liquid flower food.
Yeah, we've got a call. You are on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your caller question?
Hello.
Well, we had it. The phone went away. We saw that it disappeared.
Well, please call again. 673-4464 is the number, and we'll answer, and we'll have a discussion, and I can help you. At any rate, I'm losing my place, okay. But you can spend several days like going to nurseries and even at shopping malls and learn what's available out there in Douglas County. They have lots of stuff, you know, at all the Bi-Marts and Mark Marks and grocery stores, et cetera. They just think they're in the nursery business. But they've got a lot of good color there. So you'll have, we may have some cooler nights, but I believe we will be frost-free. This is kind of the time where we pop into the next month, and all of a sudden it's in the 70s and the 80s every day, and you go, whoa, how did it get so hot so quick? But at this point in time, the soil is still wet, but but not too wet. And if you get in there, you'll have a good crop. And when you're planting those geraniums or the petunias or what other annuals, just make sure that you add compost to your mix. If you're in your native soil, it might be basically clay because Douglas County has lots of clay here. But you just want to chunk up that clay as best you can and then add some compost. And compost can be bark, old fine grind bark mulch or old sawdust or any of those kinds of things. And it will do a good job of settling your new flowers in or your new plants in. And you'll see remarkable growth, you know, fairly soon. The biggest problem, and I've spoken about this 150,000 times over the last few years, over water or over fertilizer. They just need a little bit of water just to keep that soil damp and a little bit of fertilizer, maybe the, like I say, the liquid kind where you actually mix it in a gallon of water or the watering can and then pour it all around. And it gets down to that root system fairly quickly, and that plant will, those plant roots will absorb it, and you're gonna be amazing what it does. But you can spend several days going to nurseries and learning what's available here in Douglas County, and we may have some cooler nights, but I believe we will be frost free. And at this point in time, the soil, like I said, the soil is still wet, but not too wet. So it's like perfect time, get it in. And when you're planting, you know, geraniums or petunias or other annuals, just make sure that you add that compost to the mix in your native soil. That's very, very important. Because clay soil doesn't drain real well, and it excludes a lot of oxygen from the soil simply because it's so tight. You know, they make clay jars out of this stuff, so you want to put as much compost in there. And some folks just dig all the clay out and just put good potting soil in there, and they have no problems. That's what I have done over the years in some of my landscape projects, is just kind of get rid of this stuff, and we'll put good stuff in there and replace it so it can get a good start. And once it gets a good start and the root systems develop, a year goes by and they're fully developed and they're fully rooted in, they can get into that clay soil a lot easier because they've had a year of experience, if you will. But the more you mix good compost in there, the easier it is and the better they grow and get established. And if, like I say, if you just dig a hole in the native soil, new plants struggle to become established if it's real heavy clay. Now, not all of Douglas County is heavy clay, but mostly around Roseburg, and especially in new housing developments. You see all the new developments going on, and they're building the house, and there's equipment running over the bare ground, and there might be a cat doing work there, or especially where it's brushy or something like that, and they have to clear the land first before they can start the build. That further compacts the soil, so that soil that you mix in is going to be a real benefit to whatever plants that you do. But if you just dig a hole in the native soil, the new plants are going to struggle to become established and may even die, you know, because they can't breathe, or they get drowned with too much moisture. You know, if we had a rainstorm, let's say you planted a bunch of petunias or geraniums or something like that, and the soil was pretty good and you didn't really mix anything into it, and maybe the holes weren't quite as large as they should be, because you should overdig the size so that has plenty of room to root out. And all of a sudden we get the, you know, 2 inches of rain or an inch of rain, that kind of accumulates in the hole, and what it does, it just rots the roots because they have to have oxygen to grow. And like I say, if you fertilize, use a liquid fertilizer, and do this like maybe twice a month, very lightly. Don't overdo it and say, well, if it calls for 3 tablespoons per gallon, I'll do 6, and then that'll really, you know, shock them into new growth. It may shock them into death, too. So you want to go light on the fertilization, because you can always add more, But once you put too much in, you can't take it back out. And that's where a lot of people make a mistake. But and be sure not to overwater. And always feel the soil with your hand to test the moisture. You know, just, 2-3 inches down in there, just you'll have loose soil anyway. If it feels really damp, hey, forget it. You're okay. But if you test and you feel it and it's bone dry 2-3 inches down, that's when you give it a good shot of water. And if you do that, what happens is you learn how your soil is draining and what that plant needs, and you'll be good to go. You'll be on the road to success. So like I say, if it's bone dry, soak it. If it's damp, don't. And small plants like petunias and geraniums will die quickly in too much water. They're a real tough plant. I've done experiments with them in the past just to see how hardy they were, and kind of withheld water from them for a longer period of time. And they did fine. They survived. And when I saw them maybe going downhill a little bit, the leaves were kind of limpy or so, then I gave them a good shot of water, and within hours they pop back and the leaves are strong and the flowers continue to grow and all that. So you want to keep an eye on it. Don't dig a hole, stick them in, and jam the old soil back in there, because they're not going to make it if you do that. So, and you treat large shrubs or trees the same way. Of course, you're going to be digging a bigger hole, but, like I say, feel the soil first before you're watering. And as the summer comes, watering can increase slightly. You don't, just because it gets to 75 or 80 degrees, you don't say, oh my gosh, it really needs a good shot of water. No, it doesn't. It'll be okay. Just don't panic. And they're tougher than what we all give them credit for. And like I say, the secret to healthy plant growth is balance. Too much water or fertilizer kills roots. Simple as that. Good draining soil is the secret to success. And if you have excess moisture, build mounds to plant them in. Maybe you got a flat backyard, and for some reason or another, excess water drains from your neighbors into your yard. And for, December and January, you've got almost standing water, maybe a couple inches deep in your backyard. Well, think about building a mound, and that's just simply killing the grass where you're going to build the mound, and then make a mound. You just use your imagination how large you want it and how deep you want it, but it should be at least a foot deep, so that whatever you plant in there is going to have sufficient room to grow and will be healthy, and you won't overwater if it's mounded, because it'll drain more quickly.
Now, well, let's go to the phones. You've got a question or comment from Mike Winters. Hello.
Hi, Mike. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I don't know how you heard about that, but okay.
I have a few questions, so I'll just ask them and you can write them down and I'll hang up. But number one, I wondered if you have any opinion about the decline in our bee colonies nationwide and the correlation between pesticides on like corporate flowers that you buy.
Uh-huh.
And then secondly, I have a question about putting cedar shavings on roses, if that's okay or not. And then third, what was the third?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. anyway, the other thing I wanted to know is if you are doing visits to people's homes. So, and how do we contact you? Just for a little walk around the yard and give us some ideas.
Okay, well, let's see. You've hit me with a whole bunch of questions here. So what was the first one again?
The bees.
Oh, the bees, yeah.
We have a huge decline in colonies, and I was always wondering if it's because of the pesticides. You know, we go out and buy a bunch of flowers, but we don't know what pesticides went on them.
Right.
And then I had some cedar up gardens that were made, and he gave me the shavings from it, or the sawdust, and I wondered if it would be okay for my roses.
How old are the shavings?
Not even a year.
Not even a year. Do they look old, or do they feel lighter than,
No, they're very light, and I have a big trash bag of them, and I don't know what to do with them.
So you just want...
It might be okay for roses.
You just want to spread them around on the top of the soil?
Around the soil. Yeah, like keep the weeds down.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt them right now. If they're if it's at least a year old, it's pretty much dissipated all its bad things. So you can put it around and, put it a couple inches deep at least and see how that works. And if you see some of the roses, you said going to do it with roses, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, if you're looking at the roses every day and some of the leaves are kind of yellowing up or they're light green, that might be a detrimental effect, and you just kind of scrape away the small mulch that you put around, and they'll recuperate. Roses are tough. I mean, I've tried to kill them in my first yard in Roseburg, and the puppies just came roaring back with thank you signs attached to them, you know? I mean, it's like, gosh, how could they live through what I did to them? But I was just learning. That was 100 years ago, so, you know, what the heck. So was there another question there?
The other thing is, I have for years I have used Osmocote. It's a slow release pellet fertilizer.
Oh yeah, I know.
I heard you say to use liquid, but how do you feel about Osmocote?
Osmocote is really good. It's a long-term fertilizer, and as the moisture hits the outer shell, it dissolves some of the fertilizer into the soil. But it's not all of a sudden all at once. It's a slow release kind of fertilizer. It's good stuff. That's what we used in the nursery all the time. It's Osmocote.
Oh, okay, because I'm lazy and I don't want to fertilize all the time.
Well, you know, the Osmocote right now, if you put it on, it'd be good until next year.
Okay, and the other thing is, are you making visits to homes when we invite you?
Yeah, I am. And, we do that. I do that.
How would we get a hold of you?
Well, 679-4100 is my number at home.
94-100. Okay. Great. Thank you. Have a happy birthday.
Well, okay, I did. Thank you for the call. Bye-bye.
All right, back with more in a moment. 424-673-4464 at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 426, 72 degrees in the Umpqua Valley, a year older but still able to speak. It is Mike Winters with the Lawn and Garden Show.
What's with this? I feel discriminated against.
What? How? You're the person that aged, not us. I didn't get any older.
Oh, yeah. You look a lot older. From last week, you look ancient.
Yeah, it was a rough week.
It's all that white hair in the front of your head.
There is no... Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, one of the secrets to success for good draining soil, and if you got a flat yard... is build a mound to plant anything in. Build a mound, you know, you get 10 yards of topsoil, and you can build a beautiful mound. You can make it square, you can make it round, you can make it horseshoe-shaped, whatever, and then you've got a got a mound that's like a foot and a half to 2 feet deep, and whatever you plant in there is going to be really good. But of course, since it's pure topsoil, you still have to mix some compost material, fine grind bark or something like that, or peat moss, to mix 50-50 with the existing soil, and you'll have plenty of success. And then it's harder to overwater when you mound things up like that, because the water can drain away and has some room to operate. So keep that in mind, and you'll see. But over the 50 years that I spent as a landscape contractor and a nurseryman here in Douglas County, I received many calls from folks about plants with problems, you know, and I always ask two questions right up front. What type of soil do you have, and how often, and how much are you watering? And many folks said, well, every day, it's hot out there. But my response was, quit watering and let the soil dry out a little bit. And after you learn how your soil drains, you'll have good success with whatever you plant in there, especially if you add compost material to each planting hole. And like I say, most plants, now flowers that are shallow rooted, they might need a little bit of water every other day when the real heat hits the place. But if you get a shrub like a juniper or something, or a pine tree or something like that, you're not going to water more than once a week at most. And like I say, the test is feel the soil. If it's damp, it's okay, because the deeper you go, the damper it gets, the wetter it gets. So you just got to get through that first year so that that root system can develop, and then the second year you're watering even less, and by the third year you might not even be watering at all, because they're very well rooted in, especially if it's a tree, a conifer like a pine or a fir or spruce or something like that. I've planted them over my property, oh gosh, for the last 30 some odd years, and I never watered them, and I put them out there in places where there were I got a lot of timber area, but there are still open places where I wanted a few different types of trees, and I put some Colorado spruce out there or some other weird thing that I thought of, and just to see, and they all grew. None of them ever died for lack of moisture. That's how tough they really are. So keep those kinds of things in mind, and when you're buying plants, make sure you ask questions of the person that's serving you and say, hey, how often should I water? What do they really need? Because that, like I say, the water, if it's too much water, it excludes the oxygen that those roots need as well. And if there's no oxygen, the plant dies, period, or the roots rot. And so it's a game you have to get used to. But And like I say, when I ask, I say, well, how often you water? Well, every day, you know, and my response is, quit it, stop it, let the soil dry out. And after you learn how your soil drains, you'll have good success. That's all there is to it. And like I said, the kicker is always mix some type of compost material. It can, like I say, old bark, old sawdust, or something you buy in a bag at the co-op or anything like that. And always dig, like I say, the planting hole larger than that root ball, so that you can add your good mix to the bottom and the sides of the new plant. You know, let's say you get a tree, an apple tree, and it's in a pot, an 18-inch pot. Well, you're going to be digging at least a 24 to 28 inch hole wide and deep, and it might be too deep, you just can't put that in. So that's where you put 6 inches of your good composty mix in the bottom, so that the tree is at the right level, and then you fill it all in all the way around with your good mix, and you're not going to have any problems with your tree. It's going to grow, and it's going to prosper, and it's going to look good and be productive for you. So like I say, always dig that hole larger and then that root ball, and you're going to be okay. The same technique, of course, is needed when planting a vegetable garden. If you have heavy clay, add some sand or some topsoil and a little bit of peat moss, and then till that in and till it really well, and mix it really well with that heavy clay soil. Clay is good in that it's chock full of nutrition, because it doesn't drain real well and is very compacted. So the nutrition, the that which is in the soil stays there. But when you mix it, like, say, 50-50 with a compost material, it's going to stay, but some of it's going to drain. But it's okay. It'll work. And you can always add a little bit of fertilizer if you need that. So just think of mixing it really, really well. And this is going to give you a great, great soil mix. And your veggies, and I put it in my vegetable garden. Last year we had, we ate tomatoes every night for dinner for months. And I only had six plants, and they just kept producing like crazy, and they were just going nuts. And I'd say, oh, having tomatoes again? Yeah, okay. Well, we had some green beans, thankfully, mixed in there too. So the nicer you make the soil, the more productive that soil is and the more productive that plant is in giving you some food. Yeah, that's good. And veggies just really, really do well in that kind of a light kind of soil. You'll have a bounty of veggies. And like I say, each year, add a little bit of organic material to till it in. And once you've done this for two or three years, you're going to be able to stick your hand into the soil, up to your wrist and with no resistance. And then you know you've hit the jackpot. That's good. So, again, peat moss, old bark, old sawdust is going to enhance your soil and increase your harvest. And this is garden time. I mean, we're already starting to get our garden ready. And thankfully, years ago, I used to plant stuff right into the ground, and they did well. But after visiting some folks and seeing some folks with raised beds, I thought, you know, I'm going to try that. And I built some pretty good raised beds, and they're probably, oh gosh, good 2.5 feet deep and 5 feet wide. And I mean, everything that you stick in there just grows 100 miles an hour, and you go, wow, I can't believe this is so good. So versus just tilling up the clay and sticking it in and hoping it grows, okay? So like I say, peat moss, bark, sawdust, anything that'll enhance your soil and it will increase your harvest. And we'll be back.
We will.
Honest, I will.
435, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 673-4464 for News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The afternoon report at 5 with Douglas County's news team, and at 78 years old, still able to speak into the microphone, Mike Winters with the Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464 if you have a question.
My lawyer will see you in the morning.
I am simply reporting the truth.
Oh, simply, I see.
You're 78. You said you're 78. So
I know I am. I don't feel it, though. I don't know why.
You don't look a day over
77, huh? Well, if you're new to all the stuff I'm talking about, start small and see how it goes. Don't say, well, I'll just do a half acre just like Mike said to do. But no, then you'll work yourself to a frazzle and you'll give up real quick. But if your crops do well, you can increase the size of your garden for like the next season. It's like you don't want to eat your whole birthday cake in one setting. But if you're just beginning, start...
Wait a second here. What kind of birthday cake did you get, by the way?
I didn't get any.
What?
No, I ate avocados.
No, you did not. I am sure...
Chocolate cake, man. What other kind of cake is there for birthdays?
With what kind of frosting?
Chocolate frosting.
And anything on top of it?
No.
Chocolate cake with chocolate frosting.
Yeah, it's my favorite, okay?
And how much of the entire cake is left?
None.
Yeah.
Well, we had company for kind of.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. I picked up a hitchhiker and brought him home.
Or alleged friends.
Yeah, I have alleged friends. Not very many of them, thank God. Anyway, we're talking about gardening. And if you're just beginning, like I said earlier, start small and don't get overwhelmed and with all the work you're doing and thinking, what am I doing this for? This is crazy. Just grow those vegetables that you will actually eat. Yeah. And if you need more, go to one of our local fruit stands, and they all do a good job, and they have lots to choose from. So think about that. I remember when I had my first house in Roseburg, I tilled up the whole backyard, and wasn't that big. Most of the yard was on the side and in the front, but the backyard was probably 30 feet long and 20 feet wide, maybe. And so I tilled that thing up into a frazzle, and I planted two rows of corn, and I planted some of those zucchinis and, tomatoes and all that. Well, the corn didn't do very well. It was okay, but not like what you see out there in Cruz Farms. But all the other stuff did really, really well. And at that time, I didn't add anything to the soil. I just tilled it up. I had just gotten out of the Marine Corps, and I was going to college out at Umpqua, and I hadn't learned anything about soil. Well, I kind of did, but I didn't pay any attention at that point. I was only 23, you know? So at any rate, I finally learned, well, this is what you do for best results. It only took me a few years. And when you're working for other people all over the county, and most of the county is in clay, so you're amending a lot of soil and adding a lot of nutrition and tips to the soil, so they whatever you plant in there is actually going to grow. So lawns, some tips for a green and healthy lawn. Number one, don't scalp your lawn by mowing it too short. I see that happen all the time. You go down through some neighborhoods and the lawn is short and brown. Well, a week ago it was long and green. Well, I'd rather have long and green and just mow a little bit of it and to keep it green, because when you keep it green, it's better. The soil is more moist, and it's more, it just looks better than a short brown lawn, because it's going to struggle to grow and stay green. But like I say, mow at a high level with sharp blades for a clean cut, and fertilize with good lawn food once a month, say from May to October. A healthy, vigorous lawn needs food and water. That's all there is to it. And if you water twice a week, a good soaking, do it deeply. And if you have a sprinkler system, make sure that a half hour of watering on your lawn is pretty good. And but before you water it the second time that week, make sure you do a soil test. And if it's damp, leave it alone. And after a while, you'll get the feel of it, and you say, "Well, I only have to water my lawn once a week," or maybe the soil structure is such that it takes two heavy waterings a week. But each yard is different. Some yards are flat, some yards have a slope to them, so the water doesn't stay in one place, it drains off. But just monitor how you do, pay attention to what you do, and water in the early morning or in the evening after the heat of the day. You know, we get some days in July and August that are very stifling and heat. And a lawn that struggles, it'll struggle to grow, and then it becomes a weed patch because the grass isn't being treated properly by the mowing is too short or whatever, and that opens the door for any weeds that are just waiting dormant in the soil, because I don't have to mess with the grass anymore. I can pop right up between the blades. Yeah, that's what they say. But make sure that when any weeds appear, try to pull them. Get them out of there, roots and all. I mean, a well-maintained lawn will have very, very few weeds. And, the thing is, and I've told this for many years over the radio here and to people who used to come into the nursery and ask about these things. He said, "Well, I'm putting up my house for sale, and I want to do this and this and this." And I could give them a brief consultation just standing there and then tell them about the lawn, and because they were having problems with the lawn. Well, a month goes by, they came back and say, "Hey, that worked perfectly. And guess what? We sold our house," and blah, blah, blah. So it's good. It's good for your own satisfaction. And if you are going to, like I say, put it up for sale, a green lawn really attracts a lot of people. And just make sure that you pull the weeds, don't let it become a weed patch, and try to make sure you pull all the roots. And a well-maintained lawn will have very few weeds. Since this is the growing season, any shrubs that can be pruned and shaped now with no damage done to the shrub. And major pruning should be done in the dormant season. But this light trimming, you can do it now. It doesn't hurt the shrub, just kind of invigorates it so it'll grow thicker and nicer and have more flowers for you if it's a flowering shrub. And if you get something that's, if you get something that's way too large and it's outgrowing its space, just wait till November, December, January in there, and you can prune them down as low as you want to get them. And they'll come back, and then you, when they come back, they're not going to grow as large as they were the previous spring and summer. But you can keep them low by pruning lightly more frequently, like maybe once every couple of weeks. You get out there and you prune a few of the odd branches that are springing out with 2 feet of growth. Cut those off. Kind of even it out, round it out, flatten it up on the top. Whatever style you like, don't hesitate to do it. And you can, they can be pruned and shaped with no damage done to that shrub. And like I say, the major pruning, you're not going to hurt it, but you want to wait till it's dormant. And when pruning the shrubs, try to envision the end result prior to cutting. You know, you look at that and you got something that's 6 feet tall and you think, gosh, it's outgrowing its space because it's too close to the house or too close to the fence or the patio or something like that. And you want to keep it maintained, either take it out or prune it way, way down. But envision what it's going to look like. It's not going to look as beautiful immediately as it once did, but as it comes back, it will do well. Now, there are slow-growing shrubs that are easier to prune, but the fast-growing ones, like shrub types that give you a privacy screen between you and your neighbor, Photinia is one. It can grow 2 feet in a year easily, and I've seen it where it's grown 3 feet a year and under the right conditions. They need to be drastically pruned so they can fill out and look good, you know, throughout the summer, because they slow down when the heat finally gets here. All the shrub growth slows down, and because they're conserving water, they're conserving energy to get through to the fall. I don't know how they know that what season it is, but they do it. So just try to, like I say, envision the end result prior to cutting. And, you know, like, which size do I want? What shape do I want? But if you make a mistake, it's okay. The plant's going to grow, and you're going to get another chance down the road, and everything will be good. We got another break?
We do.
Gosh, we got more breaks than Carter has pools.
Oh, boy. If you understand what that even means, then you're probably closer to his age. 4:49 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Our final segment, 673-4464. If you want to speak to the man who's now 78.
Oh, dear.
Mike Winters.
You know, I see something bad coming out of this show, so I don't want to discuss.
Well, there's going to be no doubt around the community as to how old you are, because it's been announced frequently.
Yeah, on this show alone by you. So, don't listen to him. He doesn't know from what he speaks.
I'm simply reporting the truth.
You don't know that for...
You said you're 78.
No.
All I said is that you're 78.
I lied. I'm only 58.
No. That would be fake news.
Oh, fake news. Okay. Well, you're good at that.
Okay.
Let's get back to gardening. Now, if you just bought a new home with no landscaping, there are several ways to approach this project. Number one, you can, if you're an experienced yard builder, go ahead and plan it out, but make a plan. Visit several nurseries and see what's available. Draw a sketch of your yard with rough dimensions and get the square footage and test the soil by digging a few random holes, you know. Then maybe you want to call a landscaper with experience and get a quick design. I did hundreds of those. I do those now that I'm retired, but not as many as I once did, for sure. The process is simple and it's easy. And usually when I show up at a client's house, I just ask a lot of questions about, hey, what do you want? What would you like? What are the, you want some trees, you want some shrubs, you want lawn? And then if they give me a list of what they want, and then I make suggestions as to, well, maybe that wouldn't work here, but this other alternate would work, and give them a basic design, and maybe draw a little sketch for them on the spot. Master plans are a different horse of a different color, you know. But just asking a lot of questions while I'm there, and then I'll do a quickie soil test and see what it needs, so that I can give, if they're going to do it themselves, they know that this is what they have to do to the soil to make the thing work. And like I said, drawing master plan is time consuming, with visits to the home and presenting the final drawings. That takes a while, but just to give a consultation is, it might be there a half an hour, maybe an hour for a long one, but usually half an hour answers all their questions, because they, first of all, they don't know what they're looking for in plants. They might know a few plants, but don't have a big backlog of knowledge on that. So I say, hey, go visit some places, or go drive by some homes that you like, and maybe if the guys out there mowing the lawn, you could stop and say, hey, you got a beautiful yard. What are those plants over there, and where would you get them, and how do they grow? And, you know, and people like to share gardening stuff all the time, that have yards and stuff like that. But master plan, a sketch, ask questions. There's books on landscaping with good photos in it and good drawings in it, and lots of good information. And you can really learn a lot for, you know, you go to Bi-Mart or Costco or someplace like that, and you go into the magazine section, and you can see a lot of information very quickly for about $5, $5.95, whatever, with, like I say, color pictures and step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. And if you do those basic things, you're going to come out on the plus side. So that's good. But like I say, now that I'm retired, the process is really simple and easy. Like, I just ask a lot of questions about, hey, what do you like? What's your soil like? I'll test the soil while I'm there and see what it needs. And then, like I say, if they want a master plan, that's very time consuming, with visits to the home and presenting the final drawings and making sure they're on the right track and they know which direction to go. And it's, you know, drawn to scale and easy for the homeowner to use. I don't complicate things. I don't make it overwhelming. I just take the information they give me initially and put that on paper and blueprint a few copies for them, and they can lay it out and just do it. And if they need any more info, I can visit the site and answer questions that they might have. It's good. I also tell the client where to buy the soil if they need it, or bark mulch if they need it, or any other products that they might need. And the end result will be beautiful if they follow my advice. And I make it as simple as I can to understand, so that they don't run, you know, get into a roadblock down the road and say, now what do I do? But I want the client to know how these plants grow, how large they get, how tall, how wide, that kind of thing, and how to prune them and shape them for their best results, how to fertilize them, when to fertilize them, the type of fertilizer they'll need, and not to overdo it, because you can always add fertilizer, but if you put too much in, you can't take it back out, and that's real damaging to the plant to the point of death sometime. So maintaining a lawn for the best results. Old lawns that are too thick need a tune-up once in a while. The grass is like very thick, and water and fertilizer isn't getting down into the grass roots because the thatch has been built up in there. So what do? Well, you aerate and thatch old lawns to give them life. You can rent an aerator. You can rent a thatching machine at several different places here in Roseburg. Thatching, all you're doing is combing out all the dead stuff. And it looks like a football team had a couple of games on it when you're done. But it opens up the soil so that when you aerate, aeration is a machine that like a rototiller, but it only pulls plugs of soil out. So they'll pull a 2-3 inch plug of soil out so that when you do fertilize and you do water, the water and the fertilizer actually gets down into the root systems of the grass that still exists. And within 5 to 10 days, you have a brand new lawn. It's beautiful. It's green. And here's the key here. If you walk across your lawn and it feels bouncy or spongy, you need to thatch it and aerate it. I mean, just walking, it feels, wow, it feels thick. And and if it's kind of brownish or light green, you know for sure that's what thatching is. And thatching is, like I say, simply thinning the grass, and aeration is punching holes into the soil so that the water and the fertilizer can get down to the grass roots and make that lawn a healthy lawn. So are we... What time are we at?
Well, let's see. Listen carefully now.
Now? Okay. I didn't finish all of this, but I'll finish it next week.
All right. Mike Winters, age 78. He rolls on.
Oh, boy.
Did we mention you had a birthday? And you?
April 18th was my birthday, in case you guys want to send me cards next year.
Oh, boy. back with more next week. Podcast up soon at 541radio.com. Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show for over 20 years on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.